Hello and welcome to Humans Exhaust Me, a show caused by our current world and everything still within it. I'm Biz Paul here in the UK and I'm joined by my wonderful friend. She's soon to be out and about in the big wide world, believe it or not. From across the pond, it's Felicia Jones.
Hey Paul, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Have I just given a big spoiler? Have I just increased the risk of your security?
Yes, you did. You did. Oh. Because, you know, we got all the fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll be tracking us now. But we'll keep them, we'll keep teasing them because they still don't know what we're talking about.
No, very true.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So how was your weekend?
It was good, thanks. It was good. I had people over. Good friends of mine came over and we had a little dinner party.
That's cool. I do feel a little slighted. I'm not getting invited to all these dinner parties you're having.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you will be stuck in your basement over there.
I mean, I could come out if you ask.
But would you?
Yeah. If you live closer.
You haven't left Colorado. How are you going to get over to Britain?
If there was a way I didn't have to fly right now, I would come.
Okay, well, you could get a boat. It takes about 2 weeks, I think.
Oh, no. I've seen what COVID's been doing on cruise ships, so I'm gonna pass on that one.
Hey, they've started cruise ships back up here.
Woo, good luck to you all.
I know. Who would want to go on one now?
You'd be surprised. A lot of people have been taking cruises.
Mm. I bet they're cheap.
Yeah. No, they're not. That's the thing. They're not cheap.
I have seen the appeal. I don't think it's for me necessarily, but even before COVID, they're always getting like norovirus or Legionnaire's disease, something or other. I don't know why you'd put yourself through it.
I know. It is like a floating disease pond, but I guess people like that.
Floating disease pond.
It is. It was like every other cruise ship. Oh, we got norovirus and everybody's in their room puking.
Always.
Like, yeah. That's not fun. That's a lot of money to pay to go throw up internationally.
But do you remember the heady days at the beginning of the pandemic when it was all cruise ships? You know, that's where the problems were. You know, Diamond Princess was put on the league table. It was of like countries or places that had numbers and like it was up there.
Well, everything's great now.
That's right. Well, it's all over here.
Yeah, everything's over. Everything's perfect. I did get a nice dose of some COVID stories over the weekend as to why people aren't getting the vaccine.
Okay.
One of them is because it's not FDA approved. But these were still the same people who recommended taking vitamins and elderberry. And, you know, of course, we have to remind them that those aren't FDA approved. But OK, you know, that makes sense to all of us. Yeah, no, they're not. So so we got that. And then, of course, some people still think that it's just a way to kill everybody. So, yeah, wait. And you can't argue with it, you know?
No.
And what I've learned is you cannot argue with crazy.
I've discovered that. Today, a load of people, anti-vaxxers, have stormed Television Centre in London.
Wow.
Now, the thing is, this is where I need to describe what Television Centre is, because it sounds as though it's the only place in Britain that makes television, but the anti-vaxxers have stormed it in protest against the BBC, our national broadcaster, and their bias and lies that they're spreading, right, about COVID. And of course, it's not real, as we know. So they've stormed that building. However, the BBC left that building 8 years ago.
Okay, so they're just a few years behind. Okay.
They're just a few years behind. I think the only people that use it now are like Loose Women, which is our equivalent of The View. So
oh, it's called Loose Women?
Loose Women it's called over here, yeah.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, we're the land of naked attraction, so
all
Loose
right,
Women
I
it
guess
is.
So. That's a very interesting name, but okay, so I guess that's, you know, not that we have a bias toward being vaccinated or unvaccinated. It is your choice on how you live your life.
It is. Just don't come close to me.
And vitamins are not FDA approved.
So no,
just,
wow.
You know, There you go. All right. But, you know, I guess we're not going to get too deep into COVID because it ain't going anywhere. No. We have figured that we will probably do this show until we're like 80, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone's still listening by that point.
You know, that's okay. At that point, you can come over here and we could just all live in the basement.
Yes. Today. Let's do that. Let's do that. I think we're going to hunker down.
Yeah, so we'll do that. And we are wrapping up our Olympic coverage. Yay! So I don't remember what number of the Olympiad it is, but the Tokyo 2020 something, you know, is it the 21st?
Yeah,
Olympiad?
It's the 32nd, actually.
32nd, 21st, yeah. Same number. It is done. And I saw the saddest closing ceremonies I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was pretty sad, wasn't it? And not sad as in we're sad about it ending, just actually we wanted the closing ceremony to end, or I did anyway. It was pretty boring at the end.
It was, I mean, not having the audience is one thing. And I don't know if a lot of people know, but after you were finished with your competition, I think you had 48 hours to leave the country.
That's right. Yeah.
So there weren't a lot of, like all the athletes were gone. And it seems like the only athletes were there were the ones who competed that day or the few days before. And I assume that some of them were tired because whenever they brought the lights back up, the crowd just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. There was one quadrant where it's like everybody left and like, well, there you go.
But I mean, that what were they staying for, really? I mean, there's always the excitement of you have your little ending ceremony and the flame going out and then let's sing the Olympic hymn, which now that was something. It was a male soprano, I believe, unless I was mistaken. I think they said on RTV that it was a male soprano.
Oh, the opera singer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. By that point I had muted the volume.
Yeah.
So.
But normally you get excited about the next games and what are they doing. So I remember in Beijing when they were handing over to London, we were all excited about, you know, what's London going to do? And they came on a big red bus and Leona Lewis sprang out the top and, you know, sang a few songs and things like that and was very British. But there was none of that because there was nobody from France 2024 there. So they just sort of cut to the urbanness of Paris.
Yeah, it was interesting. I guess I'm curious to see what Paris is gonna do. I've gotten to this point now where I think they just should replay the closing ceremonies from London, because it was just a concert and we could have used a concert.
Yeah, we needed something, right?
We needed something. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, great job for all those athletes because this was not the. This was a very odd Olympics, but yeah, it was just visually not very fun to watch. Nah. So I guess we'll see because we're about to do this over again in 6 months, Paul. We're going to do Olympic coverage part two.
Oh, wait. Okay.
We got to go see what all the rich kids have been doing in the wintertime for the Olympics.
skiing and I suppose. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It will be interesting. If anyone goes, because there's a big call now to boycott it. So we'll see.
They're going. They don't, I mean, they got to get money, that money.
Yeah.
So we got to talk about two events that were, you know, the coverage here for me was pretty horrific. So I have to watch some of the events like 3 days after. But you were very interested in the women's Greco-Roman wrestling.
I to be honest, I've forgotten now whether this was the first time that women have participated in the Greco-Roman wrestling. I mean, boxing's only been in the Olympics since 2012 for women.
Yeah,
and it makes sense that there is parity. There should be parity with all sorts. But I hadn't thought. I don't really think about Greco-Roman wrestling very often. Maybe when it comes on the Olympics, and when it comes up on the Olympics.
I didn't even see it in the Olympics this time.
Don't ask me what the difference is between Greco-Roman wrestling and what other wrestling types there are. But anyway, so I caught it on TV and you know, there were women, but they were quite broad, and there was, I don't know, there was just something about it that was like really encapsulating these women, I suppose, these women wrestling like men. And now I'm questioning, I don't know, maybe I'm questioning my sexuality or something. It was just really weird. And
but are you saying that you love powerful women?
I don't know anymore. It was very confusing.
It was confusing. I didn't watch Greco-Roman wrestling, but I know one of the athletes was a woman here that won a gold, and she started wrestling because she was getting bullied in school, and look at her now, she has a gold medal.
Yeah.
So she was really, really, it was adorable just watching that. But I mean, yeah, you see some of, I don't know, I thoroughly enjoy seeing some of these extremely powerful women.
Sure.
I mean, it's, well, I, you know, and we're gonna like get off subject for a moment, but because with media and marketing, you know, we get one version of how a woman should look, and so many of us are trying not to eat or eat too much lettuce to try to achieve that. And then you see these women that come in with the hammer throw and the shot put, and they're just so powerful, and they just look like somebody next to you, but also that they can toss you like 70 feet. I love it. That's just me. I don't know.
It's the difference between beach volleyball and shot put, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. It's pretty cool to see. So yeah, I didn't see the Greco-Roman wrestling, but pretty impressive. So maybe you just like more powerful women, Paul.
Maybe. And what was the one that you saw?
Oh, we got to talk about the pentathlon.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I didn't know this was a thing. Because there's the pentathlon, the heptathlon, decathlon, and we have the triathlons and all those things. But
yeah, that's
the
true,
pentathlon is somebody just decided we're going to put five events together and you have to do all of them. So you have to swim 200 meters. You have to run and shoot. You have to ride a horse, do horse riding, and fencing.
Yeah. And the horse riding is riding a horse that you've never met before.
Oh, so a foreign horse. Okay.
Yeah. You have 20 minutes to bond with the horse before you get on it.
And this is all in one day.
This is, well, yeah. So I know a little bit about modern pentathlon because we won both gold medals in the men's and women's. So we're obviously quite good at it. And do you know, it's the only Olympic sport that was created for the Olympics.
Yeah, it was created in 1964.
So, you know.
And they've changed it quite a bit. Now, they have the winter version. It's kind of like the biathlon where you ski and shoot.
Yeah.
And it's the shooting and so basically it runs into, or the way I summed it up, you need to be able to stab somebody.
Yeah.
Shoot them, run away from them, or run away from them on your horse, or swim away from them. So you are probably one of the most skilled persons in the world if you can do this.
Yeah.
And you know what? Good for them for doing it. But it's just one of the oddest events ever, I think. But,
well, next time in Paris, they're going to condense it to 90 minutes.
Jeez, come on. Give them at least a day. That's a lot of stuff. You got to like take a break and eat a snack or something.
Yeah.
Come on, I gotta go swim and then go like get a sword and a horse and a gun. Like, come on, like give me a moment to kind of, you know, change my outfits properly. But one of the fun things I did notice about the Olympics is that you can categorize most of the sports in the Olympics into three categories: rich kids, suburban kids, and street kids. And I'm gonna go ahead and say pentathlon is a rich kids event because, and all the equestrian stuff, because you need, that's a lot of money to do that. The street kids events are anything you can run or get on a skateboard.
Well, yeah. Well, in Paris, they're having breakdancing as a new sport.
Well, see, we got to bring the street kids in, and then you have the suburban kids. That's all the gymnastic stuff.
Those
are the ones where your parents will mortgage all of their houses so you can get a gold medal and hope you get some money back later on. But
so swimming's part of that then.
Oh God, yeah.
And that's so funny.
Rowing, posh. Horse events,
tennis,
all that stuff.
Posh.
I don't know. I kind of put tennis. I mean, I think it was a rich kids event, but now it's kind of in the suburban kids thing.
Oh, see, I would say tennis is still, it's either upper suburban and lower rich, but it's not standard suburban, not here, because there are tennis clubs. There's not that many municipal tennis courts, I would say.
Yeah.
So golf, obviously rich.
Yeah.
I would say, but swimming, athletics.
Suburban. It's borderline rich kids, suburban kids, but pentathlon, definitely a rich kids event.
Yeah. Diving might be sort of upper suburban, perhaps.
Suburban kids.
But still suburban. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem that I have with track and field is I kind of think it's a street kids event, but here in the United States, you have to kind of go to college to keep it going.
Mm.
So you kind of get sucked into suburban kids or college kids. I call it college kids. But rowing.
Yeah.
Boxing is definitely not a rich kid sport.
No, boxing is definitely urban, I would say.
What about shooting? That's suburban. Mm. Shooting and archery.
Archery is definitely upper.
Oh, really? Okay.
Not that many people go archery. I mean, if you're talking like darts, then that would be.
What about table tennis?
Possibly suburban.
Badminton.
Difficult that one. We're not going to go through every sport, or they don't really play handball here. Like they play it in continental Europe, so I don't know much about
handball. Here is you just have a wall and you hit. It's kind of like squash.
Okay.
Street squash. But yeah, it's very interesting. So I guess we'll see. I basically have voted that the Winter Olympics is all a rich kids event.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see many street kids running down with skis in the middle of the road.
Ice skating might be suburban.
Oh gosh, yes, very much. That's right up there with swimming. You gotta have access to that.
Yeah.
And coaches. So, but you know, I will say, you know, for all the athletes, good for them, because yeah, I sat here on the sofa watching them and just my knees were in pain watching things.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm just older now. It's like, wow, that looks like it hurts. Good for them. I hope they get their gold medal. But that is the end of our 2020 Tokyo Olympic coverage. And pretend like we're going to insert music here, and we're good. So now there's nothing on television. Everything, you know, mental health popped up for a moment. And now that the Olympics is gone, in my Twitter feed, it is all about climate change. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Well, it's like it's a hot new thing at the moment.
Well, do you know, talking about it was the hottest Olympics on record.
Yeah, so, it was pretty bad. A lot of people were passing out.
Yeah. It's only going to get worse. Because it doesn't look good, does it, for us as humanity, the whole climate thing. We have screwed this up big time.
Yeah, the climate change thing is kind of is strange. Okay, so Philadelphia in West Philly, in West Philadelphia. I'm not sure if you've ever been to Pennsylvania before, but definitely on the East Coast. They had their first tornado. And that is, you know, typically tornadoes happen in the southeast of the United States or in the Midwest, like Kansas and places like that. So people are just like, whoa, like this has never happened here, having a tornado touch down and actually do damage. So a lot of people are like, I think this global climate change might be for real. So,
yeah, do you think? It's funny, isn't it? I mean, if you're not aware of what this is about, I mean, you know, where have you been? But the UN climate change people issued a report just today as we were recording this, basically putting us on notice, like code red, we're fucked, basically. We have really screwed this up. And if we don't do something right now, this isn't going to be fixable.
Well, I mean, Greta is tweeting. Well, I mean, how have we ever looked into, or I don't know who the we are, but I assume that there is some correlation with global climate change and diseases, you know, something like a COVID popping up and not being able to go away very quickly. I assume that's part of it too. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, from my perspective, and this is just an opinion at this point, that I can't see how you can't not link these things. Even if it was from nature, which, you know, there is genuinely a question now, isn't there, about that? But the fact that we're sort of cutting down forests and encroaching on animals' territories and, you know, these parts of the world that are completely untouched, that we have had no access to, it's no surprise that we're going to see increase in new diseases, mm-hmm. crossovers. We've got no business going in certain parts of the world. We're overpopulated as a species. You know, someone needs to talk with Boris Johnson about that, clearly. But
well, COVID is taking care of that.
Maybe it's got 5 million people. It's like a drop in the ocean, really. It's not even like 10%, is it? So, but I can't help but think that things like that will happen. Is it a direct result of climate change? I don't know about the climate change thing, but we're causing problems with the climate all over the place, from deforestation. I mean, I think I read somewhere the Amazon is now giving off more carbon dioxide than it's absorbing. So that's stuffed.
And we have fires like crazy here.
Fires going all over the place. Greece, Turkey, everywhere.
Yeah. Colorado, luckily our fire season isn't that crazy, but it can get pretty bad. But what is also happening is that we got some rain in the mountains and it's causing mudslides. So one of our major highways is pretty much out of commission. But, you know, over the weekend, all of the smoke from the fires in Oregon and California, because of how the wind blows over the Rocky Mountains, all of it came here. And it was, I mean, it just smelled like something was burning. And that's just from a different state. And I don't know, for the people who are not familiar, go get a map and you can see Colorado is nowhere near Oregon. It is nowhere near it, but we're getting all of the smoke. And it's happened every year, but... I have been a part of a fire when I lived in Southern California. You know, just watching a fire across the street from you is pretty unnerving. And then the fact that it just happens all the time, it's just pretty crazy. And so I don't know what is about to happen to the planet. Seems like the planet is trying to tell us something, or at least is trying to get rid of us. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, I can't remember who said this to me, but the planet will survive. It's just us that won't.
The planet knows how to take care of itself.
Yeah, we've seen it before. I'm just looking at some stats here. Carbon dioxide concentration is the highest in at least 2 million years. 2 million years! Sea levels are rising at the fastest rate in at least 3,000 years. Arctic sea ice is at the lowest level in 1,000 years. Glacial retreat is happening faster than any time in the last 2,000 years. I mean, it is just shocking, really.
It is, and I've been reading these articles of farmers. I forget what I was reading, but someone decided they're growing more avocados in Italy now, because all of a sudden it's not a bad place to grow avocados, because they aren't able to grow wine in some regions. And I think some of the wineries that they're now going over to Northern England, because everything seems to match up you know, properly
that's so true.
Soil and everything. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah. We're definitely seeing more wine here than ever before. It is definitely warmer here in little old Britain on the top of the world than I've ever known it. You know, my 45 years of being on the planet, it is warmer and it's wetter. That's not a great combination. but the thing is, what are we going to do about it? This is the thing that I can't get my head around. What are we going to do about it?
Can we do anything about it? That's the question.
According to this report, yes, we can. But as every day that goes by, the time that we've got to fix it gets less and less and less. And the problem is that we can each do our bit, right? So we can recycle some plastics and we can reuse some things and we can reduce our consumption of certain things. But as individuals, we're only going to get so far. You've got Boris Johnson and the government in the UK looking to open new oil fields in Cumbria here, which is kind of the antithesis and a contradiction of what they're saying we need to do. You've got Australia who are mining more coal. I saw something very interesting today where it was a TV sort of show here, and a guy was talking about, you know, it's no good us doing all this work if you've got China opening a new coal mine every month and Russia doing this, that, and the other, and such and such. And someone did point out, well, hang on a second, you've picked on the quotes unquote enemy there. What about Australia? What about Britain? What about America? These governments, we're sort of hopeless, really, unless governments take it upon themselves to be braver and take some action.
Well, I think it's going to take a little bit of the government. It's going to take corporations. And I have a very unpopular opinion about all of this stuff. Because I was one of those, you know, trying to recycle my cardboard and my cans and things like that. And something triggered in me. And I think I was watching one of my documentaries about, you know, all of this stuff. And it just realized that these companies have put it on us and tried to make saving the planet an individual activity. And like you said, us doing our part is not enough. And, you know, with me, you know, getting reusable straws, but what, a couple of weeks ago we saw the ocean on fire from one of the oil rigs, and it's like, but they are allowed to keep doing that stuff, but yet and still you put it on me. And then I look at all the products in my house, because I, you know, I wear makeup, I like skincare items, and you know, I have clothes, and it's like, well, when will it go back to the companies to do better?
Yeah.
When will they create biodegradable items? Because what am I supposed to do? I mean, I still need to buy like basic stuff like toilet paper, buy food. And at what point is it my fault, or can they do better with their packaging? So I don't know. I get so frustrated because I don't know if they have a whole lot of accountability. I think they say the right words, but I don't really think they do have the accountability.
They don't.
And of course, we're all talking about sustainable everything. And I got into not really a Twitter debate, but just kind of a thinking through things on Twitter as much as you can. but the question was, can we have sustainable travel? And when you think about airplanes and fuel and waste from all the things that we do, it's almost like what we're asking for seems almost impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are things that can be done. I mean, I totally agree with you. And I don't know how you make the companies accountable, because Western governments, as we've seen in the COVID crisis, it's not in their DNA to make it anything other than an individual's responsibility.
Yeah.
So I can't see that much is going to happen, but they need to force the issue and either tax things or set laws to make it happen. I mean, things like air travel, my understanding, which is very basic, is that it is possible potentially to fly using biofuels. I don't think it's like a massive thing, but I think they've proved that it could potentially happen. It would cost a lot of money, but that could happen. So that would obviously be better in terms of emissions. So that's one way in which you could have sustainable travel. You could events could always be hybrid, potentially, or they could be smaller. But
is that really helping too, considering when we look at Bitcoin and these NFTs, these server farms that mm-hmm. are needed and the power? We're trading one for another.
That's right.
I guess I just don't know what's better and what's inevitable for us.
Yeah.
Well, Thanos was right, I think, sometimes.
But the thing, I suppose, with energy is these things that take a lot of energy, if you can make clean energy, which, could be wind, solar, wave, nuclear, if you can create clean energy and these things can use clean energy, then one assumes that that is a big amount of help, because that clean energy is not, chucking out carbon dioxide into the air. But we also need to do things like rewild certain areas. We need to stop taking as much from the ground. We need to stop buying avocados, really, if they don't grow in your country or near you. There's no way the British people really should be eating avocados. And avocados take up so much water, as do nuts. And I can't remember, is it California where they grow lots of nuts? And it's taking all the water.
But does this go back into a conversation around mass consumptionism,
Yeah.
I want my fancy dinners. I want to be able to do, to put on a nice dinner party. I want my wine. I want my avocado toast. And, I can go low waste, but I want to be able to eat well and be healthy and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if it's our need that's driving all of these things. And I'm pretty sure there's capitalism and consumerism go hand in hand. Mm. And once you get a taste of some things, do you want to give it back? I mean, seriously, do you really need a laptop, a tablet, a cell phone?
No, you don't. Of course you don't. I don't have all those things, so that's fine.
But
of course you don't.
How do your kids get educated now? And when it's 2 years later and they need a new one, that laptop goes into some junk pile over in Indonesia,
Well, that's another thing, isn't it, about the whole idea of recycling. It's very moral. However, when you see how much of the recycling is actually not recycled and then shipped out to Indonesia and Malaysia and the Western countries are paying them to take it, and then they're just having to be burnt or dumped. I mean, it's just not right, is it, that?
Yeah. So that's why I go back and forth on what can we do to change the planet. I mean, I know all of these things that we can do, wear your clothes, don't buy so much stuff. Companies need to do better, better packaging, biodegradable stuff. But I also see the marketing behind everything. When the new PS5 comes out, everybody wants it. Everybody wants the latest iPhone. And then, I was actually cleaning out my office and I found all of my old cell phones. I don't know why I have them, but I have four. but now I'm, four cell phones and we have five different laptops because we've had to upgrade over the years. I even still have my one from college, but it's like, I don't know what to do with it because I know where it's going to go. So now what?
Mm. Yeah.
So am I a part of the problem? I mean, we all are a part of the problem. So.
We are all part of the problem. I think I like the whole reusing idea, mm-hmm. trying to increase the longevity of things. I think that's something that seems easier for an individual than recycling. Recycling's easier to think about, isn't it? Because you just go, oh, there you go, put it in the recycling bin and I can buy something that's new. But if you can reuse things, I don't know what it's like over there, but here there's quite a big push for refills rather than going out and buying new washing up liquid or powder or whatever. You can go and get it refilled at a farm store or something like that. But
it gets into a conversation of access and money at that point.
And money, because this is the thing. So I looked for, I thought I'll stop buying a like kitchen cleaner spray thing, mm-hmm. and go for one of these subscription services where you have to buy the bottle, but then they just send it to you in the post and you're not transporting water. You just, you know, get a tablet and top it up. I mean, apart from the fact that the product is crap and doesn't clean anything, they're also very expensive for what you get. And so it's no surprise, but I think this is where government has a role to play in helping people out. But this kind of trade-off thing, what could, you know, if we're doing it but China isn't, or what about developing countries? How do we help them? Are we just paying them off for our own conscience? You know, it needs, dare I say it, worldwide leadership on this, and I can't see that happening.
Well, it's going to be a hard conversation to have, because I watched that documentary with Leonardo DiCaprio a few years about, what is it? The pine soil? Ah, I forget what. One of these oils, and they're chopping down all the forests.
Oh, palm oil.
Yeah. It was a very interesting documentary, but in the back of my head, I was like, but how do you tell somebody else that they can't do this? And he did speak to a woman who was representing India. And she said, it's not fair for you to come and tell me what to do when our goal is to get people basically up to the standards of what we're used to in Western world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have people who are still, you know, without running water. They still don't have a great way to heat their homes. So why can't we get to the point where of all the things you went through, and that, which is a good argument, is it like, is. How do you go and tell someone that you can't do this when you did all of it and you are one of the most developed nations? Now, granted, on the other side, I think if we had a better plan, they could do better than what we did.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody has a good plan. It's just, don't do this, don't do this. And it's like, well, and we've learned during COVID what happens when you go and just try to wag your finger at people, mm-hmm. and tell them what to do. People get all, ooh, don't talk to me. I don't
exactly
know you.
I tell you who's really pissed off though, the kids.
The kids they are always pissed off.
Well, okay. Yeah, but they are not happy about this. I don't know whether they just listen to Greta or whatever, but they are proper raging over this shit show that is unfurling in front of their eyes and their future. I had my 13-year-old really quite not angry, like, you know, aggressive, but, you know, really quite annoyed at what he saw as it being our generation's fault. And I was like, well, actually, we're going to be partly to blame, but, you know, can you blame granddad as well? But they see what's coming, and they don't see it as their fault. And, you know, I've got some sympathy with that.
I mean, it's not their fault, but it will be at some point when they become adults.
Well,
It's one of those things. It's never the kid's fault until the reality kicks in on how things were: getting a job, going to college. I need my laptops. I need my tech. I need my fun stuff. And it's a cycle that we just keep, you know, going in over and over again. And it really is. It's not going to be the kids that's going to save us. I mean, eventually they might, but it's going to take all the adults. And I've always said that adults, we have failed kids in so many ways.
Yeah.
We can do better, but I don't know if we know how to do better.
Mm. Well, I don't think there's an easy answer. I suspect this is going to be part of the conversation for many, many years. And who knows, quite a few shows. We've got COP26, the big climate change conference in Glasgow, happening in November. And, you know, our politicians who are leading that conference are flying all over the world to drum up support for the conference on climate change. Bit strange, but there we go.
We should figure out what they're eating. We should cover that and all the little things that they do, you know, how many times they print out a program, you know.
At the conference?
Yeah, because it's all of those little things that feed into, okay, what was your meal? Oh, you had avocados. Okay. And we're here
That's
talking
so
about global
good.
Climate change. So, but it's all the little things. And you took a private plane.
Yeah.
Okay. How many outfits did you bring?
Yes.
For this one meal.
Have you ever worn it before? Is there evidence of you wearing this in 1986?
Yeah. See, we are. It's Everybody's part of the problem. So we gotta pay attention to this. Right. And you know, and for all of you out there who are wondering what you can do, I don't know. Drink a pina colada.
Exactly. So what you can do, you can join us on Patreon.
Yes,
for some additional, if we've got enough time, people, for you to join Patreon for our exclusive content here. And come November, we will be maybe using you to solve the climate problem. How about that?
That's deep.
We'll try it. But I suspect there'll be more of these conversations ahead. So let's all cram upon the environment, what we can do to solve it. But until then, I'm going to say it's lovely chatting to you today, Felicia.
It was lovely. I'll see you at the next Olympics.
Part of the Like Mind Media Network.